Yeah, that's right.
What,
you can rub you that thing off my back.
No, I actually had a upper respiratory infection this past week.
Fucking
so,
awesome. Like, that's when you have to take it off and tell us.
No, it wasn't. It was
you can catch that.
Good morning. That was bad too.
It was fine. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
You also did say you were going to stop saying good morning, but whatever.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
But
happy
fine.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Yeah.
Welcome to Dad So
Hello.
Hard.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello. Hello. Hey.
Thanks for joining us.
Hey, hey. Yeah, thanks for joining us. This is Vinny Dunleavy.
Danny McCartney.
And we are two dads, two friends.
Ex-co-workers.
Two boys that were not molested by Michael Jackson.
Jesus Christ.
Well, we're not in the documentary.
Oh, my God.
I'm not saying we weren't by somebody else. I'm just saying,
Jesus.
But we're here to talk about all things dad life.
Yes. Oh, man.
I'm having a morning, everybody.
What an opening.
Warning. Warning, warning, warning. And who knows what's going to happen during
this
episode.
Yeah, he just dropped heat in the bathroom, yeah. So there's that.
But we are very excited. We had a lot of hot topics to get into today, and we have a guest, another rock-solid dad that we're going to intro in a minute and get to it. But before we do that, as you all know, listening to us, Danny is from the island of Staten.
Shaolin, represent.
So recently, there was a, thought was a mob hit. It was a mob. A mob guy got killed, but they thought it was a mob hit.
Yeah, but it
and
wasn't.
And it wasn't.
It was just some jealous, like, high school lover.
Correct, but I Googled his age, and
he's like 24.
No, I believe he's, how old are you?
33? 34?
Yeah, I think he's like 34.
I think I'm turning 34.
Yeah, I think he's 34 too.
Oh, I thought he was 24.
No, and they said, what high school did you go to?
Severian. I didn't go to high
school. He graduated Severian and like...
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he's lying.
What year did you graduate high school?
Severian is in Brooklyn, so...
What year did you graduate high school?
It's actually a funny story about that. I graduated in 03, but we're doing a thing to like donate to charity and a competition, donate to the school. You have to put in your year and the class with... the most entries wins like a happy hour and like a party to celebrate their winning and like whatever.
Yeah.
And my brother's wife she runs like the administrations and like she runs a lot of like the events at the school. So she got as soon as I entered and was like, so your brother put that he graduated in 2007. And he goes, no, he didn't. That like, there's no way he's that. And then he was like, yeah, no, actually, he probably is that stupid. And he goes, did you put 2007? And I was like, yeah, that was the year I graduated. He goes, that was the year you graduated college, you moron.
I love it. And so was the point of this that your sister-in-law was trying to rig the system so that you can win? And she was like,
before
I go any further.
No, no.
The wrong class.
She just saw like my entrance. And
dope.
Yeah.
Dope.
Yeah.
There's so many. How did your whole entire alumni network is still tied that into the school that every class would be interested in voting for happy hour?
Yeah, Facebook. It like keeps, like that's the power of social media.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. My high school.
She does a great job.
There's so many things I say about my high school. It was fantastic to all the blue waves out there. I was our mascot. What was your high school mascot?
The Clipper. Like a boat.
Oh, mine was.
like a Clipper ship.
That's right. So we were the blue waves. So the Clipper, you could ride one of our waves.
Yeah, I guess.
As you ride me today. Oh.
I'm shaking my head.
All right. All right. So listen, we started this year wanting to do things a little bit different on our podcast.
Yep.
So
and we haven't yet.
We really haven't. We're really evolving. We're innovating. But what we have done is bring in some more dads because we know
we're on number three.
Yeah. We know listening to us is, it gets you crazy or that's not the right word.
Monotonous. Yeah.
But
we want to keep you on your toes.
We want to bring in different perspectives.
One day it might just be a silent podcast for a half hour.
It'll possible.
Be an interpretive podcast. That'll probably win like some sort of award. It's just silence for a half hour
with like little audio noises with like little beeps. We'll have little beeps in there. But today's dad is somebody I have known for, I'm guessing 12 years because I haven't really done the math. but I believe we met prior to me getting married. You were at my wedding, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So he was at my wedding. So about 12 years ago,
okay.
He was not only at my wedding, but I was at his wedding because I married him.
That's right.
So actually, he's actually the original and broke the seal.
Virgin
on
experience.
Yeah, yeah, he became him and his wife are the reason why I am now on the side marrying people.
side hustle.
Do you remember what you said? By the power vested in me by...
Oh, the Church of Universal
you
Life.
You said, by the power vested in me by the www.universallifechurch.com. I hereby Jesus pronounce you man and wife. Right.
This is wonderful.
I love that you
I have it on video.
WWW in there.
Oh, yeah, totally. And then it was a good ceremony. We had, because we'll get to it. He's from California and she is from, no,
Florida. More or less. Born in the Bronx.
I'm sure. Yeah. And so what
the
I did
sunshine
is.
Sunshine states. Yeah,
yeah. So we had a very, in the middle of their ceremony, because we wanted to do something different, I had them both have family members bring sand from the beaches. Oh, the cat's right here. Have bring sand from the beaches where they grew up. And then in the ceremony, we had a sand mixing ceremony where we had
that's
like,
pretty cool.
The families yeah. mix the
but
sand.
The moms mix the sand.
And yeah, then they had to, and then they made love. Then we poured
lost
the sand out.
We lost
the sand. And they made love on the sand in front of everybody.
Oh. Yeah.
We lost the cap to our sand bottle, but we put some saran wrap over it.
Yeah, I was going to say.
A little chicken cutlet action, a little screaming seagull.
But he is not only a father. Well, he's going to tell you how many kids he has, he is a working dad, has a very big. So me and Danny work in media. This guy works in, I'm going to say investment banking,
money.
Sales, money.
He literally works, what he just told you not to
not
say.
Not to say. He works in
investment banking.
I don't even know how to spell derivatives. It's derivatives. And I couldn't, thank God, autocorrect. But I was fighting it on my phone because I was like, I don't think that's how you spell derivatives, but.
Sometimes autocorrect is wrong. I will give you that.
And he is originally from San Diego, California, but now living in the great city
San Diego.
Of Tuckahoe,
a whale's
New
vagina
York,
is what it means.
In Westchester. We won't give away his exact address because we don't want the stalkers. But welcome, Mr. Alex Ha.
Thank you, guys. Glad to be here. Having fun already.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you. So, Alex, before we jump into this,
a dad, correct?
That's right. That's right. They look like me, so that's my sperm.
So, to be clear, Danny has never met Alex before. So, Alex could just be a homeless guy pulled up the street.
We need a fucking interview.
We have one,
hey, you.
One classification, you must be a dad.
Yeah. This.
Other than that, you're welcome.
Wearing a wedding ring. So, well, that doesn't mean dad.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't mean
that's right.
Yeah. I actually met Alex on the train today. I was like, listen.
He's like, hey, anyone a dad here?
I got a cancellation.
Anyone a dad got 45 minutes?
Yeah. We're gonna say you work in investment banking.
We should start doing that, by the way.
I could be a wedding.
That would be a good on-the-spot interview.
Yeah, but except we're not interviewing him right there. We're like, all right, so come to our friends' apartment.
We're only going to interview you, not probe you.
So run around the streets. Who's a dad? We could maybe with our cell phones just start recording podcasts on the streets.
We run around with the switchboard and laptop.
We are we're trademarking that idea. Oh my, I can't. We got a wheel bat. We got like a shopping cart. Here we go. Pop up. Okay, so Alex, tell us, legitimize who you are and that you're a father. And what you're, a little bit about how old
the
your
elevator
kids are.
Pitch background.
Yeah. Are you a dad?
Sure. So, started chasing girls around 8. Finally found one at 30. And moved in together 31, engaged 32, married at 33, knocked up at 33. Maybe 34.
That's a 1 year. First, 1 year into marriage,
things seem to, you know, when you meet someone a little later in life, I feel like things move a little faster, at least compared to someone who meets someone in college. So
yeah, those eggs keep dropping.
That's right. So that's right. So met her at 30. Married my first kid at 35. He just turned 6 yesterday.
Awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank
happy
you.
Birthday.
Happy birthday.
Second, we were going to wait at least 3 years for the next one, but wife got the itch. So it was about. They're about 2.5 years apart. My second
by itch,
boy was.
Do you mean herpes or HPV?
I think a physical and a figurative itch, but let's call it figurative because she might listen to this podcast. Right. So, second boy, 2.5 years later. So I have two boys, 6 and 3.5, and they're kind of a pack. They gang up on us.
Oh yeah.
And but it's fun, but it's crazy. So yes, yeah. I have proof if you need the birth certificates, but I'm a dad.
I have seen the
carrying
photos.
Around in my back pocket.
And I also have a pug, and they're kind of childlike too, and they compete for affection. So kind of a dad of three boys, actually, and there one woman in the house, so it's tough.
Toddlers, when you have little boys and a toddler, a pug actually does become a third kid. Yeah. They just don't grow up past like two.
Yeah, yeah.
So don't get any bigger. So it sounds like you wanted kids.
I did. Not on this timeline, you know, as a prospective father.
Whoever actually lives to their real timeline.
Exactly. I was going to say, one of the guys I work with, a senior guy, said, "You're never ready." And that's right. Never ready. And she kind of dragged me into it. And I'm glad she did.
Yeah.
But if I had any say over my future, I would have probably delayed a few more years. But I'm glad I didn't.
But
I'm glad
the challenge, Alex, what I think the challenge with you is you were very into, you really wanted the baby making. You just didn't want the initial baby. Correct me if
right. Right. You wanted to practice.
I wanted
to succeed.
She had this fertility chart. He calls practicing,
what this guy calls practicing, I call like utter exhaustion.
She had this fertility chart and she kind of circled this week and she's like, it's on. And I mean, I'm just
nothing
like a kid in a candy store. I don't even have to persuade and beg. This is my week. Oh my God. I'm going to save some up for this week.
Oh my God. All right. So, Alex, what I want to, I got to get to my questions here. I'm not very organized this morning. Okay. So, what I wanted to first do was, We're getting there. I did text you this morning a question, right? So, what I want to know, Alex, that was at the end.
Wow.
Stay with me, everybody.
Wow.
Stay with me.
The mind of Vinny, we're experiencing it right now.
This is really like, I'm going to have to do my haiku emails. Okay, so this is what I understand. But Alex, we were emailing about this. You do have a self-proclaimed love for kids. And you always tell me, you're like, oh, I'll go play with them and get on their level. But you have an inability to say no to your kids. At the same time, you do have a very intense job.
Yeah.
And where you basically tell everybody else no. So,
yeah, true.
Can you talk a little bit about how do you separate this idea that at work you are what we'll say is maybe a big cheese, a little cheese, but you're in charge of something at work, but at home you basically kowtow and bend over to your kids. How do you what's your strategy?
How do you turn it on, turn it off?
Yeah, how do you turn it on, turn on?
That's like a great question.
Management mentality.
Thank you, Danny.
Us New York area guys, it's really true. You go in, Vinny and I get off a train. We literally, it's like a war getting across town, or Vinny getting out of Penn Station.
It's a war. Guns
ablazing. There's cussing. There's spitting. There's all Grand Central where I commute through is very civilized in contrast.
Very
but
true.
I would say you have to have your game face on even it's before beautiful. You get into the office. It's you have nice. To have your game face hustling out when that door opens. This is New York. You got to get to your job. Time is money. I'm a derivative salesperson for an investment bank. My clients are big life insurance companies. Life insurance companies sell policies and they know when people are going to die, but they don't know what the stock market's going to do. So they need to buy puts and calls on the stock market from me. And it is a pretty intense job. I like it. It's a hustle job. You have to really try hard. Everyone around you is smart and wants to make.
Are you working long hours in this job? Is
it's
this
not.
Like one of the,
it's not when people think investment bank. That's terrible. Investment bankers that advise on mergers and acquisitions and take Facebook public, or I should say Uber and Lyft, right, to du jour. Yeah. Those, they make their 20-somethings work 90-hour weeks and the 30-somethings 80 hours. So I didn't pick that. I have more of an 8-to-5 sort of job.
But it's intense in the 8-to-5. It's a solid.
It's more
intense.
Get back to your question, I will say one thing I do at job is I have to manage the interests of my clients, these insurance companies that want to buy options at the lowest possible price, and my traders who want to sell them at the highest possible price. So I wouldn't call myself a referee because referees on an NFL field basically just call them how you see them. You have to use persuasion and give and take, and you have to ask for favors. And it is kind of a delicate job where you have two constituencies that want the opposite from each other, and I stand in between and try to advocate for each other. How does that compare with kids? Well, kids just want something from you all the time.
Yep.
So you have to, I would say less of a referee and you're more like a goalie, and you're trying to just kind of let your kids score a little bit here and there. But I mean,
you want to keep the game interesting.
That's right. If they had their way, my 3-year-old would eat fruit snacks from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And my oldest one would never leave watching his iPad.
Yep.
So I have to be able to say no, but I don't like it because I don't outright tell my customers, no, go fuck yourself. I don't say that to my traders. I have to work out a solution. And I feel like I'm constantly having to solve problems with these kids, which is pretty tough.
So then what advice does Derivatives Alec, if you were to take it, if Dad Alex was working for Derivatives Alex, what advice are you giving? What advice are you going to give your dad self that you need? What would you think you need to do differently? Or what are you criticizing? What's your performance review as a dad? Give yourself a dad performance review, and then we will give you one.
So I think the thing all that right. both have in common is you have to be able to say no without crushing hope. So if a customer asks me for something and I know it's going to be no, I'll still take a day or two to kind of research it, go through the motions. So I come back to them so they know I just didn't say no outright. I actually tried for them. And I think that doesn't work as well as kids who see a binary outcome. They want the fruit snacks. They want the iPad. You know, they want to go to Disneyland, whatever. But you have to say no, but we'll work something out. Maybe, you know, this summer we'll go to Disney World or something, yeah. even though you don't have any plans of doing that. But
so you lie.
It's
you encourage it's managing, you're telling your dad self to just yeah, lie.
Yeah, it's more, managing it's expectations, diversions. And these kids want gratification now.
Yeah.
And that's pretty hard, but I guess saying no but holding out hope for the future is what I do in both work and at home.
I've been noticing that kids have memory. Like, I'll say no, but we'll do this. And they hold you to it. Like, it's like, oh, can we watch? I want to watch more TV. I want to play. And it's like, all right, no, we have to go to bed. But I promise you in the morning we'll play and do this. Like, my son will wake, my four-year-old, he'll wake up and he'll be like, we're going to go play with Legos downstairs. I'm like, oh, my God, you what? Were you just, like, saying it over and over again in your head, like, to put yourself to sleep? Like, how did you not forget? I forgot. How didn't you forget?
Their memory. I am amazed at how well.
Yeah.
How far back they remember. Yeah.
We're going to say we're going to do this weekend. Not planning on doing it this weekend.
Or
comes.
Mommy like, said oh, so we were going to do Zoom? this weekend. Yes. Yes. And you didn't have anything to do with that.
Yeah.
You have to bear the consequences.
Yeah.
Oh. And they remember. Yeah.
Everything.
I will say my oldest is his new thing is if I promise him something like that and a few days later hasn't happened, Daddy, you lied. He loves saying
that. Oh, man.
Like, everything is an
it's
active...
really making you feel
active,
like shit.
Active cock block of what he wants. Like, I'm just lying to him on purpose.
Yeah.
So.
I love it. So, Alex, you did use a number of sport metaphors in these stories, which I appreciate. And we have talked about kids' sports in this. And you... Oh, I almost buried the lead on this, too. A couple things I want to get to. Number one, you were a college athlete. So when you look at your two
club
boys,
sport,
you were a club sport. Yeah. Don't diminish that. You
but at Stanford, so club sport at Stanford was
counts big time,
kind of serious. Yeah. So
it was serious.
2 years, and
it
then after
serious.
2 years, I said, "Screw this! I want to study abroad, get laid in Spain." And
what sport?
I played college rugby. Actually,
nice.
Yeah, it's hardcore. Rugby's like a hardcore.
Serious,
yeah.
But I was the backup, and the backup scrum half, which I guess you could call like quarterback. Nowhere near starting, but you know, I basically. Captain the JV squad for 2 years.
Okay,
had a lot
a
of
second.
Fun.
You told me you played.
Drank a lot.
When you say you're a backup, does that mean you were like bench warmer?
I would say so. A team like Stanford has enough players where you had two, sometimes three sides. So call it an A team and a B team.
Oh, gotcha.
And I was the starting scrum half on the B team, which made me the backup for the A team. But I rarely played with the A team. I was also a freshman and sophomore. I never played as a junior and senior. But I would say
but
for
you
a
play,
rugby
but
player.
You played, and rugby is a hard
I play,
court.
It's
I would
a
never
hard sport, but I would say I was probably one of the worst tacklers on the field.
You are 5'2".
I mean, 5'7", rounding up, so you guys get a picture of that. So I was one of the smaller guys on the field, but I was pretty good at moving the ball and passing the ball to the big dudes who would take hits, and then I'd pick the ball up and give it to another big dude. That was my job, scrum half, for those who've heard of it.
I mean, to be called a scrum.
The scrum is that pack
of better names.
Of eight
dudes. Scrum the bottom of your ball sack?
Well, speaking of ball sack.
No, don't they call that? Don't they call the bottom of your balls
the word scrotum. Scrub?
Scrotum.
Or grundle?
No, I thought the nickname for like the... Yeah, the taint, like that. Like the taint. Like, isn't there something called like scrum?
No.
Oh.
Scrotum, grundle.
Oh.
Dingle,
so,
dongle,
no, I thought there
dangle.
Was. A, I thought there was like a. It's an insult if you call somebody a scrum, like you're like a butthole.
Scrub?
No, scrum. I'm not. I can pronounce things. S
S-C... I can't spell them.
Can't spell them, apparently. Four-letter words. He has a trouble with
this. Okay. So, point here, Alex, is would you let your kid... What sports would or would you not let your kids play as right now?
So I had a couple concussions, so I'd say no rugby. Yep. That's not going to be a problem because I married a 5'2" girl. So my oldest, the poor thing, luckily I do think he's really handsome. That's going to help, but the charts say he's going to be 5'5". And I was 5'7", and I managed. 5'5" is, I do hope he continues to be handsome. He's going to need it. So he's not really into sports now, and we try soccer, and he kind of mopes around. We're going to try tennis next month.
What about gymnastics? Would you do gymnastics? Because that's good for short
guys. He kind of like gymnastics.
It's good for short guys, yep. Gymnastics.
The problem, as you guys know, and you haven't touched on this, is but we work our asses off Monday through Friday. The minute you get into these sports, there's your Saturday.
As
a dad of a six-year-old, I'm just embarking upon these. It was just kind of one thing at a time, like kids' gym on Saturdays. Now it's like, my wife's like, are you going to do T-ball and tennis?
And then
I said, he probably should. And she's like, no, you're going to take him to both if we do that.
Yeah, because Dan, your kids are on practice. You're both on the precipice. Emily's in second grade. So it changes.
Soccer starts in a month.
First grade, kindergarten, because they don't really have a lot of that organized for kindergarten. First grade is when it really starts, where the boy, especially for boys, randomly. Most of the girls organized shit starts like in second grade, but the boys start a year earlier. But that's
sexism,
when
damn.
I know. But that's when you start to do like, oh shit! Like Emily right now has practices for soccer just started on Saturdays in the morning and Sundays in the evening. It's a little
When does practice? Because Brady does soccer. He's a 4-year-old. I would imagine the next year he does soccer. It's still just the games. Like when do they start practicing?
You get into a league in first grade, they start having we have two practices a week, and then there's games.
Because I can't remember when I was a kid.
It's first, second grade, and then is when you'll have like mini leagues. Like if you're on a baseball team, they may have baseball 2 days a week and then a game on the weekends.
Okay.
And then you start traveling. Like we have to drive there last season in the fall, and we had games 8 o'clock in the morning when like say Syosset, which is like a 45-minute drive from our house, and they need to be there 30 minutes before the game starts. So now it's like, I got to be there at 7:30, which means like I need to leave my house at 6:45, which means I got to wake everybody up at 6.
That's
awful.
But that's only on weekends. Probably worse is practices during the week. Yeah. Well, Someone has to leave their job at 2 to take them for... How do you do that?
You have a nanny. Two. You get an au pair.
I guess you have
to. You rob these South American countries for help. It's called an au pair. That's my favorite place. So to rugby. What would you say? I pay them.
You're paying them.
They're gladly here. Au pairs are gladly here. Although, I mean, somebody once I'm done with mine can do a class action lawsuit in this investigation because it is a bit like what these girls make is nothing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I will admit that. But I guess you have to value the housing too and all that kind of stuff. Well, that's a whole another. Well, I'm gonna bring my au pair on one episode. Maybe
you
we'll
should.
Do that.
That's actually pretty good.
I just don't know how she can take care of my kids afterwards. I recall it. Actually, Emily did request. My daughter has requested to be a guest on this podcast. So, just for warning, Emily wants to be here, and I told her if you have to be on the show, you need to answer questions for 30 minutes. I go, you can't just sit here and watch us, and you need to say, and we're going to ask. She's like, well, I don't want to talk about myself. I go, well, you don't have to talk about you. You talk about me, and we'll ask you questions, and you can talk about your father.
That's a dangerous game.
We'll give her the last 5 minutes.
We make, well, maybe we'll do a call.
Yeah, we can't do a full half-hour interview with her.
She did declare to me last night, she goes, Dad, I just like to talk about myself. I was like, you're my daughter.
Yeah.
She's like, so maybe gymnastics, but there isn't what about your other son?
My other son seems to be more inclined with sports, but like Danny, I mean, he's 3.5, so we'll see. Those are low commitment, 30-minute soccer inside sort of things. Yep. So we'll see. Because they're both going to be small, I want them to take karate. I actually did that up into college and enjoyed it. But, you know, you can lead a horse to water. You can't make it drink. And the last time we took Weston, the 6-year-old, to karate, he was around 4, and he did it once, and then he just wanted to sit on my lap and be a bitch. So, so that didn't work well.
Karate
we'll try
be,
it again soon.
Karate will be a new Olympic sport next year, so you never know. 2027. No, it was not ever before.
Judo was, though.
Correct.
Interesting.
And karate is different than judo.
No, I know that. I just would
Do
assume
you?
That. Yes.
I don't.
I would assume that if judo was in karate, was in.
I would have no clue what the difference of
but
judo
actually,
and karate
on this topic, and speaking of all the cheating involving kids and sports these days, I would just say I'm going to do my best to expose them to these things without being one of these pushy Hollywood parents pushing their way into USC. If he doesn't want to play tennis or baseball, no big deal. We'll get him a piano. So I'm going to try to be like that. My parents were kind of like that. They'd expose me to a lot, but you know, I played basketball for 1 year in first grade, and I told you I'm 5'7" now, so do the math when you're six. I wasn't a basketball player, and I stopped, and no big deal. So I'm not going to be pushy.
So are you going on the record by saying your parents did not side-door you into Stanford?
Oh.
Is this I wanted to... we may have to go to back to admissions.
So,
but are you,
Vinny...
Did your parents not buy a building?
The day after that, I mean, I work on a trading floor, and there's a fun vibe, but there's quite a bit of
half the people
roasting.
You work with probably... got side That's door right. into their universe. I would have no doubt there's at least 5 guys out of 100 that you work with that got
so
side door.
I got to say this. The next day, I've been covering the same customers for 12 years, and a lot of them are my friends. One customer said, "So Alex, what sport did you play before Stanford?" And the other one said, "Alex, so whose face were you photoshopped onto?"
Awesome. That's awesome.
No, I wrote my admissions essays the old school way. I hand wrote them.
Nice.
And I made
parchment
copies
paper?
At Kinko's because he needed a backup in case when you sent them through the mail, in case they didn't show up.
Nice.
No, I worked hard, but you know.
I
was side-doored into Wagner.
And in order to do that, that means your parents had to whack somebody in Staten Island.
No, they just had to show up and say, "Danny would like to go here."
Here's the proof we buried somebody in a bag of, under the leaves in the woods. Get him in. They're like, "We'll take that guy. We'll take him. Aye, aye, aye. So, but do you think, Alex, do you have faith in your 2 kids? And would you side door them into a university?
No, I wouldn't. I think, honestly, what happened is terrible. I'm not trying to be moral here, but I think it's terrible for the kids. They should go where they're best equipped to go, right? If the Stanford and Yale thing, USC, they're all really good schools, but they should go where they're going to go and succeed, and not where they're going to go and look around and say, "What the fuck am I doing here? These other kids are computer science wizards, and you know, I
don't think any of these kids that got in were smart enough to look around and go, "What am I doing?" No, they're like, "I'm here."
I'll put it this way:
they had no clue.
I think these parents were mostly concerned about their own status, which is the bad part,
and
it wasn't about
the
kids.
More for themselves.
More for themselves, but at the same time. I'm concerned about my kids, especially the older one. I want him to be driven and get himself into good schools. I want him to succeed. And, you know, let's be honest, you know, we all like pay for our kids to go to sports and music lessons. It's kind of to try to help them get ahead in life. As they get older, we'll probably pay for tutors. And we are trying to give our kids advantages. And so I will say that these celebrities, they were just trying to get their kids a leg up too, but they definitely went too far.
You nailed it right on the head. Like, there are both sides of the story. And it is like, I'm trying to be the best parent and set my kids up for the best success as possible, but it's like, where does it end?
Mm-hmm. Well, you could set them up for success, or you could buy the success. Because getting into college is the success.
But that's in their mind. They're like, "No, I'm like, there's nothing wrong. I have this money. I have this. Like, that's a drop in the bucket for me. I'm doing this for my kid. Like, it doesn't affect my life. Like, it's money that it's gone. It's toward them."
I love this topic. I'm so obsessed with this story.
Yeah, I know. I feel like this is like the third time
I'm
talking about it.
I'm obsessed with it.
Then let me give you one more kernel.
Well, my thing is, if you want your kids to be set up for success, the parents who are doing this are insanely successful.
Yeah.
So like, if their kids needed to get a job,
investment fund for them, or
correct. But like, if you go to college, the fundamentals of it, I don't care who you are, you go there for the network of alumni to meet people because you got to try to get into a network. The people who are
really
paying
not
all
there.
This money,
not at 17, I think. Well, no, I think for grad school, yes.
But all these parents had a network. They all had a network.
Definitely.
And these kids could have went to community college, and all the parents had to do is pick up the phone and go,
"No, that's true.
Get them a job."
That's true.
I mean, the amount of money that's being wasted is crazy. One kid, this is how I...
But you can argue that they were paying to get the kid into school so the kid could do it on their own, not have to rely on them calling up someone.
Oh my God, but these kids...
They
kind of
thought if they bought their way in, the rest would take care of itself.
Is on the kid now,
No, they just thought the system would help these kids get the jobs on Wall Street or tech or whatever.
Yeah.
2 points I'm going to make on this. Number 1, I think these parents, once these kids got jobs, would become the parents that would, like, the kid would get a performance review and then they'd call the boss. I was at lunch the other day and one of my coworkers told me one of their friends had to do a performance review of a 22-year-old, told this girl, like, everything's great, but you're like, you need to be here at 9. This is the issue I have, blah, blah. And not 24 hours later did this girl's mother call her to be like, I need to talk to you about the performance review.
Are you kidding?
No, I was like out of my mind. I was like, I can't.
I would laugh.
So I forgot who told me. It was somebody I worked with. No. A friend.
It's like,
friend.
Look, I don't think like somebody at work. This. I'm not a fucking
one of
teacher.
Their friends at another place had to do this, and because we were talking about getting in early and whatever, but like, but these parents, I don't think would have ever stopped. Like one of the moms in this story, when you get, I didn't read the transcripts, but I listened to and I read about people who've read the transcripts. One of these parents told their kid that they had arranged it for them to take the ACT at home because they weren't feeling well. And then what the mother did was hire somebody else to actually go take the official ACT. And the kid was like, why am I taking it at home? And they were like, oh, don't worry about it. It's because you were sick. I did a special thing. And the kid had no clue that when they took the test, it was like a bullshit. Like he took like a test, but it never went anywhere because the real test was being taken out of a testing center.
Wouldn't you guys agree?
Ridiculous.
Wouldn't you guys agree that these parents and a lot of parents right now, it tends to fall to the mom, but us dads too. They're trying to prevent all discomfort for their kids. They're just trying to gloss over their world and not have their kids struggle. And that's what they say. Sorry, the two guys in here that are millennials, but millennials have been kind of shielded from things. I would say Vinny and I kind of, I wouldn't say we went through the ringer. Our parents
Danny
paid
is
for,
not a millennial.
Okay.
Technically I am.
At the beginning, right? So, but seriously, our kids, these kids entering college, the college presidents are saying, these kids are not prepared mentally, and 70% are depressed because they've never had any hardship. And Lori Loughlin wanted her kids to just honestly have an easy way and not stress about things. And that's not going to build character in our kids.
No, I mean, when Emily, when she's has a bad soccer game and her team is terrible, I tell her, listen, you guys lost.
It was
terrible.
Yeah. Like, and you shouldn't, and you should not get a trophy.
Everyone
gets a trophy.
When she brings home her artwork from school, right in front of her.
Yeah, that's,
I throw half
I've
it out.
Talked about that.
She's like, why are you throwing it out? Why are you throwing it out? I go, well, it's not that great. You have other good stuff. Like, I'll keep the good stuff.
Vinny was not raised as a millennial. So.
No, clearly.
But
good stuff. But this
the
is,
silent
I'm not
generation.
Save.
This
not,
stinks.
I don't have a recycling bin in my house. I'm going to save paper and paper and paper, so I have a room stacked with like shitty artwork. Some stuff you keep, and other stuff. It's like, listen, great activity. You did it. You wrote it. Now it's going in the garbage. Right, like
no,
is
I agree.
What it is.
I agree.
You can't keep it all.
Yeah, we still keep it all, but no, we throw it away, but just not immediately.
Oh no,
we don't. As soon as it gets handed to us, like oh nice, trash.
There are times where
what do you want for dinner?
The worst is when they throw their own garbage out, and then she looks. Why you threw this out? I was like, I should probably learn to at least start when I don't do it in front of them to put it into another room. That's probably the worst.
Or just put some tissues on top of it.
So I either do it like straight up, like, can I get rid of this? Sometimes I ask for her permission, though. But Alex, I will warn you, I do believe your wife will be side during your kids into school. And I do think you listen to these stories. The fathers are nowhere, although they may be on the call and they're funding it. This is all driven by moms. Every person that's being called out right now is the mother. The fathers had an inkling it was happening, and they were probably help financing it. But a lot of this is the mom. So I think the trick here, fellas, is to get control of your wives and be like, the only side door that's happening here
is your back door.
Is in our master bedroom.
Vinny, you know my wife longer than me. I would actually say, she got an academic scholarship to University of Florida. And went, you know, from a state school, moved here, made minimum wage, and worked her way up. So she's actually much more tough love than me. She can say no. So I do not see her side-dooring anyone here. I think she's kind of going to be like, here are the tools, sink or swim. I'm more of a, here, let me give you a push,
she's
kids.
Fiercely competitive. And I know she's listening to this. And I will get a text.
Probably.
But I can see her. Listen, I get it. Women are like this. They're all competitive. Moms, this is where dads, I don't feel like... When I go to the soccer field, I don't sit there with the other dads and go, oh man, my daughter's doing better than yours. It cross my mind.
Really?
These moms, moms, all they do is like
it's
compete.
It's because their kids
like,
are status symbols to them.
It's insane.
And
it's
that's
insane.
Why Lori Loughlin needed her daughter to go to USC. It's you know, like another piece of jewelry for her.
I wonder, this just popped into my brain and I'll say it, but I don't know if it's true. I wonder if the reason why women like are doing that with their daughters is sort of a way to self- deflect from thinking about taking care of themselves.
What?
This is sort of a real extreme but I'm trying to think, like,
I didn't even understand,
especially with social media.
Meaning, like, it's either you could worry about yourself and take care of yourself and your own life and not, like, and, like, you know, worry about how you look and all that stuff, or you could not focus on your problems and then just live your life through your kids. So instead of actually dealing with your own shit,
project them.
They project it, and then the kid. Whereas I think most guys, we handle our own.
Yes.
And don't project on our kids.
And don't project as much on our kids. At least that would be my...
I'm with you on that.
That's my dad... I was going to say meme. That's not a meme.
I don't even know.
That's my dad comment of the day.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, what about...
He wants the microphone.
Don't you think part of it is that they were just bad parents when the kids were growing up, and now they're trying to, like, make up for it and just throw money at their problems? And
Could be. Absent parents.
Yes. Or, absentee. Part of that is absentee parenting, where you're not around, so money is the connection point. Yeah, because if you're also, I would have to argue, and I don't know anybody. Do I know anybody who makes that much money? I don't know if I know anybody who makes, like, millions of dollars, but I do believe in order to make millions of dollars, you're working a lot.
Yeah.
And if you're working that much, one of the two parents is not home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Agreed. So I do think we've talked about this. Like, you have to figure out the life you want to live and what the balance there is. But, like, I don't know how much
An army of nannies, in which case you're also not parenting.
Correct.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know how much money I would have to, how much money would I have to make to not see my family?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
$3 million.
Like the Brady Bunch, how much do you have to be making to have a nanny and still see your kids?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's my favorite, like, scenario, that the nanny is there and you are both also there.
Oh my God. I never even realized that. They had a full-time nanny, cook, and everything, and they were always home.
And mom probably didn't work either. Mom Brady.
Yeah. And that house wasn't even that nice.
Carol didn't work.
No house was,
Mike worked.
Six kids.
But he was always in the show. Like, he was always there.
But Mike also worked genuinely 9 to 5 and probably had an 8-minute commute.
Listen, maybe architects.
So
did architects.
He was around more.
I love that.
We should all be architects in Los Angeles to make a lot of money. Here goes. That would be fun.
Not a big house for that family. It was just two rooms.
Hence the drama.
Six kids.
Hence the drama.
And there's actually a reality show coming out. They have brought the cast together to redo the house. So the actual cast of the Brady Bunch is currently filming a reality show where they go into the real house in L.A.
So Vinny,
and they're redoing
the
home. Like, somebody bought it. A production company bought it, and the cast is there. They're redoing the entire house.
HGTV.
So, Vinny, how many of the six kids are fuck-ups, like Partridge Family style?
Oh, on the Brady Bunch?
I'm guessing half in real life. I'm thinking, like, Jody Sweetin from Full House and
dead.
How she turned out.
Is one Brady Bunch kid dead? I think one's dead already.
I don't know.
They are older than us now, so...
A couple of them have probably been. Peter Brady, I think, is doing well because he married the chick from America's Next Top Model.
I have zero clue.
You guys are in this industry.
Yeah. None of them have gone on to anything major. But that's also the 60s where they were getting paid no money. Yeah. Okay, so before we go, we're going to start a new segment.
Okay.
We were going to try to do like 5 questions. I forgot what the 5 questions
are. Oh, yeah.
We're going to try to do some two-word... I can't do two-word answers. One-line answers to these questions.
You should call it speed round.
Speed round.
Lightning round, speed round.
Yeah. What advice... Okay, well, should I say all three or do one at a time? What do we think?
One at a time.
Okay. So really quick, what advice would you tell your pre-dad self? What kind of warning... Or what advice would you
say? So you're saying what should you do before
you're
a dad?
What would you know? What would you go back in time and tell Alex before you popped out the first kid? What would you tell Alex pre-first kid?
Like 18-year-old Alex or 33-year-old Alex?
Like 6 months. You just got married.
30. Oh, right. I would say Alex while your wife is pregnant.
Okay.
Yeah. Or
right before you get pregnant.
Right before the baby shoots out of the hospital.
Just, okay. I would say force yourself to go to bed earlier. Because once that kid comes out, like... I hate going to bed because I like to be up. I like to be alive. I have stuff to do. And now that I have kids, I like staying up because it's the only time it's quiet.
Yeah.
You know, I work on a trading floor during the day. I come home and including the dog, there's 3 boys and it's chaos. And it's not till about 8:30 p.m. when there's silence and I love it. So it's hard to put myself to sleep. But I would say the advice for right while your wife's pregnant and especially the day the kid comes out is just put yourself down earlier. You know, if you like to have an evening drink like me, just have that at 5 p.m. instead of 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Because you need to get some sleep, because if you're not well slept, it makes a really rough job. Yeah. Really rough.
That wasn't one line, but it was a good answer.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yours was one line. Mine was not.
I'm the police. The podcast police. So the next question. Oh, shoot, my hand. I just moved it. Sorry. What would you have done different? What would you do now that you've been a dad for 6 years? What's the one thing you would have done differently? Criticize yourself. What would you change?
I think like most first-time parents, you guys have two as well. You stress too much about the first one.
Yep.
And then the second one gets a little more leeway. And I'm assuming if I had a Brady Bunch number, it would be Lord of the Flies by the sixth one. I would not care. I would just say, get away from me. So I honestly do think, no disrespect to my wife, but Vinny, you know her. She really stressed out about things because she's good at that. She's with the first one. She was way better with the second one, but I followed suit. And there's some pressure when your wife is stressing out about things like, I don't know, why he's not eating this at 3 months old or something. She gets mad at you if you don't stress out about it.
Yep.
So I did.
Well, they look at it as like they're not concerned.
If exactly. they're concerned, I'm concerned. Them, I just concerned. Like, think well, the kid will be okay.
Exactly.
So I would say, but my advice would be instead of genuinely getting worked up about these things that my wife did, I think I should go back in time and just, you're right, honey, and just kind of fake it.
Yeah.
Just fake go along with her. Because I shouldn't have been stressed about these things because our kids turn out okay.
Yeah. Great.
Good answer. Again.
Pressure stress.
Not one line. But a good answer. We'll keep it. This isn't my speed round.
You gotta ask yes, no questions, Vinny. Yeah. Give me a break. What advice would you have?
In two sentences.
Two words.
I wanted two sentences.
Premium porn.
Yeah, okay.
Paid subscription.
You just said porn. Oh, porn.
Username and password.
Oh, okay. Share that. Can you share that with us?
All I can say is so.
AlexHodd@gmail.com. Password is Weston.
So eight months after the firstborn was when I got some again. I had an 8 month hiatus. It was brutal. So a username password.
Lucky. Be lucky you had 8 months, okay, guy?
I know. But then when it started up again, it was not a deluge. It was a trickle.
I want people writing in about their hiatuses. 8 months. 8 months is like a gold.
This should be your next podcast. Is this thing?
My next
goes every dad.
Oh, what is it?
Every dad has this struggle. After the first kid, you are shut out for a while. But my 8 months was a long time, and then it was a trickle.
Yeah. Well, my kids were 3 years apart, so we know how long I was shut out.
Wow.
2 years and 3 months.
Didn't even practice. 2 years, 10 days.
Didn't even practice for 2 years.
I don't need practice. That's how good I am.
Last question.
What are you most looking forward to as a dad?
Oh, that's a good one.
You mean in the future? Looking forward to?
That's
like
a good question.
You mean like for the rest of my life, like 5 to 10 years out?
Whatever. It could be next week. It could be 5 years. It could be 20 years.
What's the one thing? Put you in a nursing home.
Yeah, as a dad. Like, what's the next? What's the thing you're looking? What moment in life as a dad are you looking forward
to? All right. Not two words, but I will say short term. My 6-year-old is starting to read, and I get excited when he comes home and reads me very simple books, nice. Like, you know, Dog Bites Boy. But that's good. He's actually reading. So that gets me excited, not just the academic part, but he's, you know, he's learning,
a real book?
He's learning his way in the world.
Wait, is Dog Bites Boy a real book? You just made that shit up.
I made that shit up. Absolutely.
Think about what that story would be. Yeah. Let's read a book about how a dog's biting kids.
Ends with dog getting put
down. We haven't talked about our own fathers, but my father is 75 and he's in great shape.
Cheers.
But I would say for the past 10 years or so, I've taken care of him a little more than he has for me. So he got me so far in life. But now our parents are 70s, 80s plus. And I mean, I don't want to say I'm looking forward to being 75. Absolutely not. But I'm looking forward to my kid at least being a little more independent. Because I am on them all the time. And only now my 6-year-old is starting to be like, no, don't play with my Legos. It's awesome.
All right.
So I look forward to kind of a little bit more autonomy.
Nice.
Yeah.
I personally am looking forward to going to a fraternity party, which
that's a pretty good one.
That's like my fantasy life. I will side door these kids into a college with some good Greek system,
just so you can go to parties.
I will pay for letters. I want to be in a great frat house.
SEC preferred, right?
Yeah. That's a pretty good one.
No, Big Ten. SEC.
Big Ten. I forgot. Ohio State guy.
Get it right.
Yeah, that's
no. You want a fucking nice weather school, man.
That's true. I may have to defect. Well, then I go to Southern California, but UCLA, I don't think they have a good Greek system.
Side door.
Let me know. Everybody out there, let me know where I should send.
How about Miami?
Florida State.
The U.
I would do Miami. I think they're a little bit... There's too many prisoners coming out.
I knew exactly where that. Like, oh my god.
I mean, if you read the football headlines, I'm not. Anyway, if I'll take suggestions on what school I should send Shane to in 16 years, if anybody wants to write in. Speaking of writing in,
speaking
Danny,
of writing in, follow us on all social media outlets: Instagram, Facebook at Dad So Hard Podcast, Twitter at Dad So Hard Pod, email dadsohardpodcast@gmail.com. Go to the website. We are Dad So Hard. Wait, we are dadsohard.com. And how else?
And like what us. Rate, no, like, rate us, oh, yeah. Review us.
Rate, review, subscribe.
We have to give a big shout out to Alex Ha for joining us in our DSA.
Good times. Thanks for having me.
We loved it. We loved it. Tell your friends, if you know any dads, you can nominate them to join us.
Absolutely.
In this lovely facility.
And like, obviously, make them subscribe and rate and review.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a requirement.
What you have to do is walk around the office today, have people take out their phones and say, well, follow this. I'm going to be on it tomorrow, and then have them listen. That's the only way to do it.
You got it.
It's true.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening. Peace.
Peace.